Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Thanks for hitting the rewind button with us. I'm Dal Calzi, here with Dan Fowler, and we have a copy of the 1994 TV Guide from the weekend of Halloween. And Dan, we are going to dive in and plan out a whole weekend's worth of watching.
Just look at this lineup. This is so taking me back right now, because on this weekend, surprisingly, they didn't have any Halloween-themed cartoon episodes going on. There was a rerun of an Animaniacs episode that involved some trick-or-treating from their first season.
It's Halloween! It's Halloween. We got it. No need to bludgeon us with it. It scares me.
Halloween thrills continue with Animaniacs next on Fox Kids.
It wasn't new for the weekend, but there was plenty of monsters and ghouls and spooks to be had, because you had the Addams Family, you had Creepy Crawlers, Mighty Max, Skeleton Warriors, Beetlejuice, Tales from the Crypt Keeper, Mutant League, Bump in the Night, and Monster Force. Do you remember these? Did you watch all these?
I watched Tales from the Crypt Keeper here and there because I knew about Tales from the Crypt, but didn't have a way to watch it at the time, other than this weekend, I suppose.
Tales from the Crypt, Friday at 8, 7 Central. Parental discretion advised.
Now that's entertainment.
I watched an episode or two of Creepy Crawlers. I mostly knew of that from the toy commercials.
Creepy Crawlers!
They're squirmy and wormy and purple and green. The grossest little creatures that you've ever seen.
Creepy Crawlers!
I definitely watched Bump in the Night on ABC. Bump in the Night had just debuted, and actually in this Halloween episode, they have a whole write-up about some of the kids' shows that are debuting that year. It was kind of a big year for cartoons, not necessarily Halloween cartoons. Bump in the Night, definitely kind of a scary, spooky claymation.
Don't miss Bump in the Night on ABC Saturday mornings.
My name is Mr. Bumpy, I go Bump in the Night.
Yeah, you had the monster in the closet, and you had he had like a nemesis with a toy robot guy, and he had Squishy and Molly, who was like his partners and sidekicks in crime. But yeah, these were very like toyetic shows, where you can go and purchase all these action figures in the stores at the time. Mighty Max is a great example, like you just said. He was all over TV with his commercials. Skeleton Warriors was really breaking out on the toy scene, because that actually was a stepping stone to Todd McFarlane coming out with the toy line that he did, seeing like the details that he could achieve with his toys, unlike a lot of what was on the market.
The Skeleton Warriors are led by Foul Ben and Doc. It will stop at nothing. Once they were men, but served a force so evil it devoured everything, leaving only their bones. They are advancing towards you, young prince. Oracula, armed to the teeth. Dr. Cyborg, the high-tech horror. The slow but dangerous dagger. All of your allies have fallen, save Lightstar and his companions. Skeleton Warriors, they're bad to the bone.
I don't remember Skeleton Warriors at all, or Mutant League, so I had to look those up when I saw those in the TV Guide just to kind of get a refresher, but you're familiar with both of those.
Well, yeah, so a lot of this I was either familiar with as a kid, but didn't watch, because once I was in 1994, I was full-blown a Fox Kids Club kid. Skeleton Warriors, Tales from the Crypt Keeper, that kind of stuff was playing more on CBS and its very last days, when it was right before he finally decided we're not doing cartoons anymore, whenever that was.
Yeah, and they switched over to like all Jack Hanna nature shows or something.
Something like that.
Beekman's World, that kind of thing. Yeah, I kind of went back and forth between, I did watch some ABC, because I think every now and again, you'd still get a real Ghostbusters over there around noon or some weird time. I would switch over to CBS for Garfield and Friends and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because they were back to back. And then I would always go back over to Fox Kids for the fun shows.
The fun shows.
Bobby's World, Eek the Cat, all those that were in the lineup. I don't think Bobby's World was on this weekend.
So be honest, how early were you getting up to watch Saturday morning cartoons at that time?
In 1994, I mean, I was probably up by 7 o'clock watching cartoons. I would get up and go downstairs and watch TV until my parents got up and watch the cartoons that I liked.
See, that's what sucked about it back then is like kids today have no idea how lucky they have it, where everything's on demand whenever you want to see it, whenever, however. When we were kids, if whatever you wanted to watch, you had to get up at the 6 a.m. sometimes.
Yep.
Sometimes, oh, I think rarely ever 5:30, but they would start cartoons as early as 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to see it, you had to get up. And if you wanted to see it again, then you had to get up because you had to record it, especially if you're jumping around from channel to channel. Because, yeah, I remember, for instance, like on this list here, Creepy Crawlers. Creepy Crawlers, I remember, was coming on ABC or Fox at like 6 or 6:30 in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning. Like, if you wanted to see it, you had to get up at that time.
Don't miss the excitement of the all-new Creepy Crawlers
on the 50 Fun Club, Sunday mornings at 7:30.
Out of all these listed here, did you, like, what would be your go-to cartoon, like one or two cartoons you would have to see no matter what?
On Saturday morning, my go-to no matter what, I would probably check. I don't remember ever really watching the Addams Family cartoon when it was on at the time.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It's hard to find a copy of nowadays for whatever, because the Addams Family has always been real entangled in bad copyright or bad legal, you know, who owns it kind of problems. So that particular version, that cartoon series from 94, you will not find it in DVD and you'll not find it on YouTube.
Now, looking at it from now, if I had all those channels available, Beetlejuice, I believe, was on Nickelodeon at the time. And I was a Beetlejuice fan when I think it was on ABC during its original run.
I think it was on ABC originally, and then it jumped over to Fox toward the end.
Okay. So if I had Nickelodeon available to me at the time, that's probably what I would watch out of that. It'd be more interesting. I know it came on several times.
I would definitely, out of this list, probably have to go with Mighty Max. If you've never seen Mighty Max, that was one of the best cartoon series I had ever seen. Like, the stories are phenomenal, the characters are amazing, and just the way it all ties into the toy line is just indescribable.
Mighty Max has friends, Virgil for brains and Norman for strength, and a magical hat to save the world. But when it takes more than just smarts and power, when it takes courage, they turn to Mighty Max. Weekday mornings at 7.
That was another one that was on very early.
Yeah. It was hard to catch. But when you did, it was just like you couldn't believe what you're watching. Like, I would put it on the level, if you enjoy real Ghostbusters kind of writing and storylines.
Uh-huh.
And you wanted to have like kind of an epic is all going to one destination at the end, then I would highly suggest Mighty Max.
Okay. So I don't think I ever watched a full episode. I think I would always catch it like sort of in the last act. But I did have some of the Mighty Max little playset toys with the little miniature characters.
Mighty Max, Mighty Max.
It's Mighty Max.
Welcome to Skull Dungeon.
Wow.
Mighty Max.
Smasher, get up! Your brain donor is here. Me want brain. No way, slime face.
Whoa!
Watch out for that first step. It's not over, Mighty Max.
Will Max get fried? His fate is in your hands.
Mighty Max, Mighty Max!
You can collect all his adventure sets, each sold separately. Mighty Max figure included from Mattel.
So you actually dove a lot deeper into this than I did. I just thought it would be fun for us to page through this TV guide and kind of pick what we would want to watch, kind of like talk about what was on and pick what we wanted to watch. You actually went through and looked up what was actually a Halloween episode and kind of based your playlist off of that. I just kind of had fun paging through it and revisiting these articles, seeing what was new on TV for kids in 1994. Some of those shows, Magic School Bus, Bump of the Night that we already talked about, Gargoyles was debuting. Another one of your favorites, The Tick, all had just got started. So there were a lot of fun.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Things to go through. We mentioned Power Rangers also. They had an article mentioning the debut of the White Ranger, which I didn't realize happened so fast because it felt like there were several years of episodes building up to first the arrival of the Green Ranger and then that the same actor playing the White Ranger later on as just the good guy and not the guy who is conflicted by evil. Did you watch a lot of Power Rangers as a kid?
Actually, I did not. I did not get into Power Rangers until I was in middle school with Power Rangers in Space.
Okay.
And to me, that was kind of the be-all, end-all, like, this I enjoy and I don't need anything else.
Okay. So I was kind of the opposite. I was first generation Power Rangers and then after that, Nip was not interested in any of the other ones. I think I did watch an episode of Power Rangers in Space.
Well, that's the one where they meet the turtles.
Right, yeah, that's the only episode that I ever watched just because I was aware that there was a crossover happening. So
Where they met the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, yeah.
Because that was, what was the name of that turtle series?
The Next Mutation.
Next Mutation, yeah. So they met the Next Mutation version of the turtles.
When astronomer casts an evil spell on the Ninja Turtles.
Destroy the Power Rangers.
Can these good guys gone bad be stopped?
What are you doing?
Don't miss the biggest event in Fox Kids history.
Take the megaship.
When the Turtles battle the Power Rangers. On Power Rangers in Space, all new on Fox Kids Friday at 4. Take the ride.
So just for shits and giggles, let's kind of go through page by page, hour by hour in the TV guides. Starting, let's say, Saturday morning at 7 a.m. We won't go through every hour, but just maybe during that cartoon lineup, and then we'll pick back up in the evenings and just kind of see what was on and make some picks.
All right.
I know you have yours already.
I can tell you hour by hour what I'd be watching.
7 a.m. The lineup starts with Bill Nye the Science Guy. I probably wouldn't ever pick that. I'm not sure if you would. I mean, I would pick it if there was nothing else on, but only for some experimentation. Bugs Bunny and Tweety. Barney and Friends. I think I was too old for Barney at this point. My little nephew loved it, though. G.I. Joe on Channel 61. Welcome to Pooh Corner on the Disney Channel. And there's something called Shelley Duvall's Bedtime Stories on Showtime that says it's a cartoon. I don't know. That sounds terrifying. So at 7 a.m., what would your pick be?
I am busy watching Dracula AD 1972 that started at 6:40.
Okay, so you're watching the Cinemax movie starring Christopher Lee. Good choice, good choice. So you got up a little earlier than I did. I would probably check out G.I. Joe. I know it's not a Halloween episode. Or if I had the Disney Channel, Welcome to Pooh Corner was always something I was interested in because I would see at the video rental, they'd have like an episode or two of it on VHS, but I never rented it or was exposed to it. So I might experiment with that, but G.I. Joe was always a solid. So 7:30, are you switching up or are you staying with Dracula?
I am staying with Dracula.
All right. Well, let's see. 7:30, they have Mega Man on Channel 5. Baby Huey on Channel 61. And that looks like about it. The Busy World of Richard Scarry on Showtime. I would probably check that out. Did you ever watch that?
I don't even know what that is. What is that? I don't know.
So I believe it's based on a book series. And it always had interesting...
Oh, that thing?
Maybe not. Okay, never mind. I remember it.
I think I've seen...
Okay, I take my pick back. I remember it being more weird looking than it actually is.
Okay, Dale.
All right,
I'm going to stick with my Dracula. That or Mega Man. Mega Man was a great cartoon series. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I would probably watch Mega Man. I remember watching Baby Huey from time to time, so I might flip back and forth between that. But if I may have landed on Dracula by now and got into that. I enjoyed the Christopher Lee Dracula. 7:35 on TBS, they are also having The Halloween Tree. It tells us it's going to be on again at 3 p.m. It's based on a Ray Bradbury tale, and I guess Ray Bradbury narrates it also. Have you ever seen Halloween Tree?
I want to say yes, but I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah, me either.
In fact, until you mentioned Ray Bradbury, I was thinking it was a cartoon.
Maybe it is. It doesn't say it's a cartoon. It's an hour and a half.
It's not for a lack of research. It was just for a refusal of research on my part. Like, I saw that and it's like, nah, it sounds too lame.
Yeah, well, like I said, you dove in deeper than I did. I didn't really see what was, I just thought it'd be fun to just like look through and pick something we would want to watch for hour by hour on.
Yeah, I'm sure I probably have seen it. I just don't remember it because it must have been something that just didn't interest me as much.
What do you know about Halloween?
TBS tells you what Halloween is really about. The Halloween Tree this Saturday at 3:05 Eastern only on TBS.
And that, children, is Halloween.
8 a.m. There's some more things on. So let's say, for instance, you're going to switch over and just experiment a little bit. Little Mermaid is on Channel 3. Dog City, the Jim Henson, I don't know if this is the live action Dog City. I'm imagining it's the cartoon.
They're the same show, Dale.
Wasn't there a live action special too? Any of these catching your interest might bring you over from Dracula for a bit?
No, I'm still watching Dracula 80, 1972.
Okay, so not My Little Pony Tales or anything?
Nope.
Yeah, I never watched My Little Pony either.
But you may find this next half hour there's something that will make me switch channels.
Okay, Beethoven, Power Rangers, Sonic the Hedgehog, Creepy Crawlers.
There you go.
We're back!
Hey, kids! The Creepy Crawlers are back, and we're better than ever!
That was cool.
But Guggen Grime's back, too, with all new monstrous Crime Grimes.
No one has seen such a powerful Crime Grime ever before.
Boy, I sure hope our new powers are up to this.
Yeah, I will happily stick with my cartoon based on the Easy Bake Oven for Boys.
The Creepy Crawlers.
You have to give it to them. I mean, it's whoever was given that task, I think they really knocked it out of the park. If you gave me an Easy Bake Oven for Boys and said, you make this into an action figure cartoon that'll sell for boys, I would have been like, I will just give it, pass the buck. I have no idea.
I have no memory of watching that cartoon. I love the commercials and, you know, thought it'd be cool to have the Easy Bake Oven for Boys that you said where you would pour like the goop in.
See, I'd never had the creepy crawling machine, the goop maker, the monster maker, creature, whatever they called it. I can't remember what. I never had one.
Me either.
I own, currently, as an adult, I own the action figures based on the characters from the cartoon. Because the whole point of the cartoon is someone has like the creepy crawling machine that you would buy in the stores, but they could actually make real monsters that jump out of it and try to take over the city with it. But this is like an evil magician, and his apprentice steals it from him to make good guy monsters.
Yeah.
And these good guy monsters have to fight the bad monsters in order to try to keep the evil magician from taking over the city. And it was done really well, and I like the animation. I like the humor, and the toy line I thought was really cool. And what was very inventive that I thought was the coolest feature is the action figures actually came with the little plates that you would pour the goop into. So you could make your own weapons out of the stretchy, goopy things that you would make creepy crawlers out of.
Okay. Whatever kind of material that was, latex or something they would sell to kids back in the day.
Build a monster mold with the color plastic goop and make a creepy crawler from a yucky monster soup. They're ucky, yucky, squirmy, wormy, very scary, sometimes hairy, squiggly, wiggly, creepy crawling.
Crawlers.
Gross out your sister, embarrass your dad. You can be a little creep without being bad.
Creepy Crawlers Workshop with Plasti Goof.
It didn't last long.
Yeah.
It had like a short-lived toy line. It had a one and a half season show. The first half is easy to find on YouTube, but it's the last half where they change up their color schemes and stuff of the show. That was when it gets kind of obscure and hard to find.
Very cool. I'm going to have to go back and revisit that, I believe. At the time, I probably would have picked Power Rangers.
Cool.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Of course.
Hopefully it was the Halloween episode.
Yeah, hopefully. Power Rangers had a good two or three Halloween episodes as far as the first Mighty Morphin series.
I know there's also a couple of Rugrats Halloween episodes, because that wasn't one I was exposed to regularly, but enjoyed it at the time when I would watch it. 9 a.m., we have Animaniacs, which I think was the Halloween episode you were talking about.
Yeah, so that's the rerun that has Slappy Squirrel going trick-or-treating.
And Halloween is Grinch Night is also playing. That's one that I never saw as a kid.
It's not good.
Yeah, I watched it as an adult, not a fan.
It's if you're hoping for like the Halloween version of Grinch Stole Christmas, it's far from that. It's not. The songs suck. The animation's like whatever. And the story is just kind of who cares.
So I think we both agree Animaniacs is the solid choice
there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I got on my list.
9:30. We have Skeleton Warriors on Channel 2.
That's what I'm going with.
But Eek the Cat and Terrible Thunder Lizards are on Channel 5. On Channel 7, they have Reboot as a show we've mentioned before.
Well, if Eek is the Halloween episode, I'll watch Eek. Because Eek is, if you've never seen Eek, you have to watch Eek the Cat by Savage Steve Holland. That is a cartoon that is just one of the best I can recommend somebody to watch, but just its brand of humor and this animation style is just unreal.
Fun show. I remember enjoying that also. Reboot, like I said, is the, or like you said in our Crash Dummies episode, was the first fully CGI
cartoon. Yeah, fully CGI cartoon.
It was also...
Well, fully ongoing CGI cartoon. Because right. Crash Dummies was a fully CGI cartoon, but Reboot took it to the point of, let's make a whole series out of this.
A returning series. Yeah, that was also debuting in 1994 as a brand new series. Like you, I'm going to flip back and forth between Skeleton Warriors and Eek the Cat. Disney also had Marsupilami on. Oh, and I missed this one. It's on the next page, the top of the next page. Nickelodeon has Muppet Babies. Were you a fan of that show? That
I was growing up, yeah.
That's one I wish I could find on streaming or DVD, but it's another one of those is tied up with rights that
I think
for some reason they won't release it.
Yeah, you have to. I think the only time they released it on DVD is when you bought some of the re-released dolls about 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
I think they were like a Toys R Us. You had to buy them through there.
Okay. I know there is a reboot series or something that's on
there Disney is, yeah, Plus. They did. Redo Muppet Babies. They came out with a brand new series not long ago. I actually covered it for a second in my Attack of the Killer Tomatoes retrospective because they actually had another, because the original series is what helped kick off the Killer Tomatoes to be brought back as for sequels and cartoon series. And then when they remade Muppet Babies, they had another episode with something very similar to a Killer Tomato episode, which was funny.
Okay. I'll have to look that up. 10 a.m., we have Wildcats. That's another one I had to look up because I don't remember. Apparently, it's an X-Men knockoff that was another kind of Jim Lee mutants show.
Yeah, so Jim Lee, when he left Marvel and left doing the X-Men books, he started to, was one of the people to start Image Comics. And his book out the gate was Wildcats, which was basically like his own version of X-Men, but done with these. It's a bit of a convoluted plot and backstory to get into with those superheroes, but essentially it's superheroes fighting aliens.
Superheroes fighting aliens. Okay, we'll see a lot of that later on in different comic books down the line, right? Also, that hour they have Iron Man, Batman and Robin, Bump in the Night, which we mentioned, New Captain Planet, And it looks like Beetlejuice over on Nickelodeon that we mentioned.
That's what I picked. Yeah, I picked Beetlejuice. I don't know if it's the Halloween episode or not, but that's what I went with.
I would probably go with that too. I might also, because it's Halloween weekend, sample Bump in the Night and see what was going on over there. Ooh, WWF Wrestling is also on USA at that time, so I might be doing a lot of flipping back and forth. 10:30 is when stuff really gets interesting for me. The Ninja Turtles is on CBS. Fantastic Four is on Channel 3. The Tick is on Fox. And Tales from the Crypt Keeper on Channel 7. Any of those?
I'll go with Crypt Keeper.
Going with Crypt Keeper. Because it's Halloween weekend, I'm probably with you. But I'm probably going to at least see what's going on in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, if it's a new episode or not.
And surprisingly, they've never had a Halloween episode.
I thought they did.
Oh, did they? Well, if they do, remind me, because you know more than I do about turtle episodes.
There is one that I believe is Halloween themed where they dress, and it may actually be from the 2003 series that I'm thinking, where they dress up and go for a night on the town and it's Halloween and they're able to blend in because it's Halloween.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
I may be
when I say they never had a Halloween episode, I strictly meant the first series.
Yeah, I believe it is in the first series, but I may be wrong. That happens more often than not.
Hey, kids, know where you can hang with your favorite heroes in a half shell in their most incredible adventures?
We ought to be partying, not fighting.
Here's a hint. It's in the same place where you can find your favorite funny fat cat and all his pals. Give up? It's Garfield and Friends and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Saturday on Kid TV, where kids rule.
So like I said, Ninja Turtles and Garfield and Friends were back to back. So at 11 a.m., Garfield and Friends is on. X-Men, and I thought this was interesting, Destinos, an introduction to Spanish, which was course material when I was in college and taking Spanish 101. So it's weird that it's on TV in New York in 1994, and I saw it like a decade later. As something I had to pay for in college. Oh, The Alvin Show is also on Nickelodeon. I was always a fan of that when I used to see it also. Going with anything at 11 a.m.?
There was nothing really at 11 for me, just because out of lack of Halloween theme kind of choices, I would just go with X-Men.
Okay. Yeah, I would probably go with Garfield and Friends just because it's still a comfort show for me to this day. Might sample Alvin Show just to see what's going on there. 11:30, another Garfield and Friends. Mutant League, that's another one you were talking about.
Yeah, and that's actually my pick for 11:30.
Okay, so we've got our picks for 11:30. Yeah.
So since you don't know what really you don't know what Mutant League is, do you?
Only just from when I was researching this and I saw this listed and I had to look it up. So it's like another one of those shows where toxic waste somehow gets into a sports league or something, creates mutants?
Yeah, so it's based on these video games, and they had two sports where you could play as mutants fighting it out over the sports. And
football
that was
and hockey, right?
Football and hockey.
Okay.
And the point of the cartoon was, it was basically they play more than just those two sports, but it's the same mutant athletes that go head-to-head in all these different sports. And what made it so different was that because they're mutants, they would completely beat the crap out of each other. I'm talking ripping limbs. I'm talking decapitations. All on a regular, you know, morning kids show. This wasn't like some HBO late night special with adult animation. And then what they would do is they would throw them in these baths that could like pull them back together.
Okay. So like the bath, the tank or whatever from Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. But that was what that cartoon is. That cartoon is based on those video games. And it was a decent cartoon. It had a little bit of a thread of a storyline that ran through every episode, and had, I think, two seasons.
Two seasons and 40 episodes. So it definitely sounds like something Little Dan would appreciate.
Yeah, but it wasn't something I heard about until just a couple of years ago.
I never heard about it until I was looking up the stuff that was on.
That's because it was always on like a cable channel. It was never on just a regular channel. It wasn't NBC, CBS, Fox, any of that stuff. So yeah, I never heard of it until recently, and then found it on YouTube and got to watch it all. And
join your favorite teams weekdays on this station for all the sports action mayhem of Mutant League.
6:30 weekday mornings on WATL Kids 36.
Noon is when it gets interesting over on USA. They start a Halloween movie marathon, which is where I pretty much would stay for most of the day after that, I believe. Halloween 2 was on at noon, followed by, I think, Child's Play later on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm pretty much on USA for most of the afternoon. That's when a lot of the other networks switch over to college football. How about you? Anything in the afternoon really jump out at you that you'd want to point out or watch?
So when it comes to the afternoon, I don't think it gets, I mean, Halloween 2 is a good pick just to get through until you hit something else. Like, I do enjoy the Twilight Zone. The movie comes on at 4. You got Once Bitten and The Midnight Hour at 5. I'm gonna wait
till the midnight hour. This Halloween, have a devil of a good time. The Midnight Hour is Saturday.
If you've never seen The Midnight Hour, The Midnight Hour is a great Halloween movie. It's about kids in a small town, and they accidentally resurrect like this witch of the town's past, and she resurrects and brings forth all these like ghouls and goblins and spooks, and start just taking over the town. And they have like Halloween parties and people dressed up, and you got a guy riding around with a ghost girlfriend that he's hitting on. The whole movie is a really cool little movie, and this usually is easy to find on YouTube or streaming services if you've never seen that.
I have never seen The Midnight Hour, but you've talked me into it.
Yeah, it's a made-for-TV movie with a lot of TV stars from about the mid-80s, but it's I really highly recommend it. I super enjoy it. Now, at 6, I noticed that there's on the USA, there's an Alvin and the Chipmunks
Yep.
Trick or treason animated movie. Have you ever seen this?
I actually have it on DVD right over near you. It's probably my pick at that time for 6 o'clock. I might also experiment with Ren and Stimpy because I didn't have access to Ren and Stimpy at that time.
Well, now be honest. Is this Alvin and the Chipmunks Trick or Treason? Is this any good? The plot didn't sound that good. It's all about Alvin wanting to join a gang, but he's got to show them he can do Halloween pranks and scare people to be in the gang.
Yeah, he gets like talked in. It's another peer pressure, do these Halloween pranks kind of thing like you were talking about.
But there's no monsters, just nothing supernatural. This is basically a Halloween background movie, right?
Right. The Chipmunks would get much better when they faced Frankenstein and the Wolfman a few years later in those direct-to-DVD adventures. But Trick or Treason, it's more just for the nostalgia. I was a big fan of the Chipmunk show that was on in the late 80s, the cartoon. Like I said, I was a fan of the Alvin show too and would have checked that out earlier.
Monday on Toon Disney.
There's a monster on our own block, and you know who I think it is?
Alvin is out to solve a mystery.
What's that? Mrs. Johnson, the lunch lady, the... Enough already. Who are these people? Just a few you've accused of being a werewolf, vampire, or she-wolf.
Catch Alvin and the Chipmunks Meet the Wolfman.
No, I don't get excited again until 8 o'clock. Because at 8 o'clock...
Is that when you're going to watch Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman?
Well, if I'm not watching Fright Night 2, which I love Fright Night 2. If I'm not watching that, then I'll give Dr. Quinn a chance because I had no idea that Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman had Halloween episodes.
I remember watching this episode. I probably didn't watch it at the time. It was probably later in syndication, or it might have been because I feel like Saturday night, that was something that my parents would watch on TV. Dr. Quinn was a...
Medicine Woman.
Well, she was. Yeah.
Oh. I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
No, she was a popular show that would just kind of be on at our house because I think it would stay on Channel 7 after the weekend newscast and whatever would be on.
Oh yeah, same with me. It's like it wasn't like a regular thing we sat down for, but it was always on in the background every so often, and you just knew of it.
Yeah, I remember like this disfigured man that everybody was afraid of, and
on Halloween. That's the important thing. This is an actual episode on Halloween, and this is their second episode to be taking place on Halloween with people dressing up with costumes and everything.
Yeah, and some plastic surgery happens to make him less monstrous, if I remember correctly.
Yes, so it's about Richard Mole is a survivor of a train wreck, and he's disfigured, and people are outing him as a monster in the woods, and Dr. Quinn offers to give him plastic surgery, which I didn't know she was qualified to do that, in order to try to heal his scars.
I don't think Dr. Quinn was qualified for most of the experimental things that she did back on the frontier, but somehow it always worked out.
And they somehow tie it all into a Frankenstein theme from what I read. It's supposed to be like people are reading the Frankenstein book in the episode. People are dressing up as Frankenstein for Halloween. They're comparing Richard Mole and his disfigurement to Frankenstein.
I think they, if I remember correctly, they play it up as like that's the it book at the time, the ghost story, the Prometheus of the modern era, and it kind of ties in well in the fabric of that story. Again, it's something I probably watched once and have never seen again. Yeah.
She came to the rugged West with a purpose.
I'm a doctor.
We don't need her help.
And found prejudice and hardship.
If you're going to survive, you better learn to make it on your own.
Premiering January 1st, a story of courage in an untamed land. Jane Seymour is Dr. Quinn, medicine woman.
Over on Nickelodeon, things get interesting at 8 o'clock, too. It's the debut of a cartoon called Real Monsters.
Snick this Saturday and celebrate Halloween with monsters. Ah! Real monsters.
I hear they throw rotten eggs everywhere.
Yummy. Ah! Real Monsters premieres next Saturday only on Snick.
It was also on Snick, but on Halloween they did something called Nick or Treat.
Careful how you say that.
Nick or Treat.
Don't get us canceled, Dad.
Yeah, got to be careful of that these days. So Real Monsters was a show about monsters learning how to be scary. I was aware of it, never really watched it, but that was the premiere, so they were hyping it up on Nickelodeon.
This Saturday, join 24 fearless kids as they nick-or-treat in Nick's virtual neighborhood. Watch as three kids every hour dare to knock on cyber doors. Each one could bring a great treat or a trick from another dimension. The all-day Fright Fest starts at 2 on Central with the scariest episodes of your favorite Nick shows. Plus, the world premiere of the newest Nicktoon, Real Monsters at 8, 7 Central. It's all happening this Saturday right here on Nick. Nick-or-treat is brought to you by McDonald's McWorld, 13 Dead End Drive, and Nickelodeon.
And I showed you, when I was doing a little research and finding some commercials that aired during those Nickelodeon blocks, they did something where kids could call in and go Nick or Treating live. And this weird host that was dressed up as a bat would let them pick houses in this virtual neighborhood to walk up to and press a button to open the door and see if they would win prizes or not.
Yeah, it was so wild. I had never seen anything like that before. So for those who are still trying to wrap their head around how we're describing this, it's essentially all pre-recorded, pre-animated footage. And what the caller would do is just pick a house, and then they would just play the footage up to whatever house he picked to find out if he won anything behind the door.
Yeah, and it almost looks like the host, like there's some lip sync issues. So I think the host is just animated moving around and the host voice is playing over it.
But yeah, so the host is blue screen as a bat creature. So like everything below the waist is blue screened out. So yep. It looks like he's a floating bat while he waves his arms in this costume. And he's got, it's pretty silly looking, but still I admire their creativity with that, because I mean, that's something I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't think anyone's ever going to do again.
8-year-old me would have been totally into trying to call in and get to go trick or treating on live TV.
Yep.
How you doing? Right out of the bat here, ready to nick or treat with Christopher from Muskegon, Michigan. All right, Christopher, you ready to nick or treat?
Yes.
All right, take a look at the neighborhood. We got 6 houses. We got real monsters in some and prizes in the other. You got 40 seconds. Which one to go to first? Where you want to go? Where?
Two,
go, bad matter, go, run, now fly down there, come on, flex your wings, now you want to curve, there you go, left, there you go, press it over, quick.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
You won't find any prizes here. Just little old me.
Don't want it. Three, old me.
Four.
Dog Chateau all the way down the street. Come on. Now you gotta pump it down there. Come on, baby. Come on. Run. Watch that dead end. Now, press the doorbell quick. Good. Whoa, you got the nickel and grab that. Where do you want to go next?
So now I think you should already know when it rolls around to 8:30 where I'm going.
So you mean you're not switching over and watching the second half of Double Double Toil and Trouble starring Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen?
No, if it's not Full House, I've never seen anything with Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen outside of that.
In 1993, a year earlier, I did watch the premiere of this on ABC. I don't think I would watch the second screening the year later. Let's see, 8:30, where are we at? Oh, I know where you're going. You're heading over to TNT from Monster Vision
with Joe Bob Briggs.
They don't do a good job in the listing here of calling that out as Monster Vision. They just say it's
because that's
Wax.
That was the whole thing about his listings back in the day. That's why he could never really ever even get awards for what he was doing as a horror host, because he was never listed as the program. Monster Vision was never the program. It was always the movies.
That's why it took me a minute, because I had read earlier in the Halloween edition the week before that there was going to be a Monster Vision with House of Wax. So when I saw this, I was like, okay, I know exactly where Dan is going. Still a horror host you enjoy to this day, correct?
Yes, very much. And so this was a great night for them, because not only were they playing House of Wax, they were also playing
Child's Play.
Child's Play.
I might have to go back and see if I can find that on YouTube, because I think watching Child's Play with his brand of humor and behind the scenes stuff would be a lot of fun. Have you ever seen that?
I probably have. I mean, there was a while there before Last Drive-In started that I was rewatching all the old Joe Bob Monster Vision episodes. And the funny thing about me, and this will sound really weird, now when I watch horror hosted movies, I actually don't care to watch the movies. I just want to see the horror host segments. I don't know if you're the same or not.
It depends on the movie. There's some that I want to watch, but most of the time, especially on The Last Drive-In, about 90% of those, I'm just not interested in sitting there and watching the whole thing. And like you, I kind of enjoy the segments with just the behind the scenes and the gags and the different things they discuss.
See, my thing is I've seen so many of the movies that when I'm rewatching them, it's like, okay, well, here they are with the horror host, but I've already seen the movie before, so I just want to skip to the horror host parts because that's all I'm interested in right now.
Right. I guess it's kind of like me with pro wrestling these days. I still enjoy watching it a little bit, but I enjoy like podcast analysis and kind of road stories of pro wrestling more than the actual content that they're producing.
Yeah.
Same way with the, like you're saying, with the horror host stuff, it's more interesting to see those characters reacting to the movie and giving some information about the movie than it is actually watching the movie.
Halloween weekend on TNT's Monster Vision.
Trick or treat.
A joyous occasion for the whole family. Four fun-filled movies that deserve this disclaimer. Tonight at 8:30 on TNT's Monster Vision.
So if you got tired of those and need to switch over to anything for the rest of the night just to get through the Sunday morning. So you had two things going on. You had the
one over on Cartoon Network. We had a Scooby-Doo Scoobathon with 25 hours or episodes of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, so Cartoon Network did an all-nighter of Scooby-Doo episodes. You also had an all-nighter of Munsters.
Right, over on TBS.
Over on TBS. Yeah, that's what I was trying to look for. I was trying to look for TBS. So yeah, the choice between a marathon of Munsters or marathon of Scooby.
It's hairy. It's scary. It's the month at 8 Cartoon Network. Run for your lives, everybody. October is out of control. With 25 straight hours of pure Scooby-Doo. Plus a whole week of nothing but Scoob-Tube. That's more do than you can possibly do.
What I thought was real bizarre, and this threw me off, was TNT at some point in the night also had a Scooby-Doo's Spooky Halloween Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked and I looked and I looked and I'm like, what is this movie? Because every time I typed that title in, I couldn't come up with anything. And then I just did a search like, okay, well, what's the only thing that came out in 1994 that was Scooby-Doo? And I think what was going on was they were premiering Scooby-Doo's Arabian Nights, which has nothing to do with Halloween. And I think they just retitled it Scooby-Doo's Spooky Halloween Adventure.
Just to get some
just
clicks.
Get eyeballs on it.
Yeah, eyeballs at the time, yeah.
A handsome prince
a beautiful princess, and a love pulled apart by an evil wizard. It's the kind of story that could only be told by Scooby and Shaggy. With new jobs as royal food tasters, they have to keep a prince entertained if they ever want to eat again. With Yogi Bear, Boo Boo, Magilla Gorilla, and of course, Scooby and Shaggy. Cartoon Network's Cartoon Theater presents Scooby-Doo's Arabian Nights.
Between the Monsters and Scooby-Doo Marathon, where would you have landed?
Scooby-Doo. I'm okay with the Monsters. I don't have a problem with the Monsters, but I just never watched them. In fact, if I had my choice between Monsters and Addams Family, I would choose Addams Family. Who would you go with?
I watched the Monsters more than I did the old Addams Family, just because my dad was a Monsters fan. So whenever it was on, and anytime but we'd see any of the old specials or TV movies that they ended up going back and making, he'd like to stop and watch the Monsters. So,
see, I just was one of those that I wasn't exposed to any reruns whatsoever of that show. Not of Addams Family's either, but Addams Family had the movie and then they had the cartoon that was kind of like, was helped out by the two movies that came out by Barry Sonnenfeld at that time. So that, I think that really kind of fueled me more or pushed me more in that direction of the fandom.
I was a big fan of the Addams Family movies, the first two, Addams Family and Addams Family Values.
When's the last time you've seen those?
It's been a few years. I may have.
Dude, we just watched, my wife and I, we just rewatched those movies like in the past couple of weeks. And the second movie, oh my God, I didn't remember it being, having such a like kind of tongue-in-cheek, racy humor.
I smell a 4-star review.
Great! The critics are raving about the Addams Family today here on ABC.
All right, so we stayed up all night watching Scooby-Doo, and now it's Sunday morning. Let's say we start, doesn't look like there's anything really on until 7 a.m.?
It looks like TNT has a Halloween tune-a-thon going on, but I have no idea what's involved with that.
Yeah, let's check that out. Why not? Halloween tune-a-thon. 7 a.m., we have DuckTales, Lamb Chops Play Along, another Welcome to Pooh Corner, Flipper, Two Stupid Dogs, which I enjoyed as a kid. So that's probably where I would go, over on TBS. Are you going to stick with the Toonathon?
I think I'll stick with the Toonathon now, not knowing what in the world it is. I'm really not going to be waking up until probably 7:30 for Monster Force.
7:30 for Monster Force. So what is Monster Force?
So Monster Force is basically, you know what they keep trying to do with the Dark Universe?
Yes.
Am I hearing some kind of feedback in my end? 2-2-2-2 test, 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 2-2-2 test.
What are you hearing?
I don't know. It's almost sounded like I had, like, it's almost like I can hear myself in my ear at the same time I'm talking.
Bye.
Okay, but anyway. So you know what they keep trying to do with the Dark Universe, with the Universal Monsters, trying to bring them back and make them more modern and do all these fancy, cool things with them?
I do.
So Monster Force is essentially the best thing they could have done, which they're not going to do because they're stupid. And what I mean by that is, imagine G.I. Joe meets Ghostbusters meets Mask, all against the Universal Monsters.
Come, children of the night. These are the monsters. Dracula, Wolfman, Frankenstein, the Mummy, a nightmare alliance of supernatural supervillains. In the cataclysmic battle for civilization's survival, one force for good confronts an army of evil. They are Monster Force.
Sunday morning at 6:30 on KTTW KTTL.
Sold. I'm there with you at 7:30.
Yeah. So it's like a 12, 13 episode series, had his own toy line of action figures. But it's just these high tech. A group of people with these high-tech vehicles that are trying to stop Dracula, the Wolfman, and the Mummy and the Creature from the Black Lagoon from taking over the world.
Never heard of or saw this until now, but it's going to be on my watch list. Let's see, 8 a.m., we have...
Creepy Crawlers.
Creepy Crawlers.
Can't get enough of that.
And it looks like another episode of Monster Force. Are you going to flip back and forth there?
I think I will, depending on if it's reruns or one I've seen or not.
Popeye and Sons is also on, and The Adventures of Tintin. Now, he did have a cool Mummy's Curse episode that I remember standing out when I was a kid over on...
Tintin?
Tintin, yeah.
The Pharaoh's curse! These must be the missing archaeologists.
8:30. Let's see. We have the Care Bears, Heathcliff, Beetlejuice over on Nickelodeon. That's probably where I'm going.
Yeah, let's go with it.
I might experiment with New Captain Planet also.
Have you heard the theme song for New Captain Planet?
Is it not the same as regular Captain
Planet? No. I was very shocked to learn once I got that whole series toward the end there. They redid the theme song, and it is horrible. You see Captain Planet playing a harmonica in a jail cell with a monkey.
Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero. He's our powers magnified, and he's fighting on the planet side. Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero.
All right, over at 9 a.m., it looks like Double Dragon, Iron Man, Phantom 2040, and Magic School Bus is on. Any of those sound?
I love the most of those cartoons, Double Dragon and Phantom and all that good stuff, but I think I'm going to have to switch over to AMC for The Thing from the 50s.
AMC The Thing. I must have missed that in the... Oh, yeah, there it is. I'm with you. Switch over and start watching some Halloween movies. There's Halloween also kicking off. We mentioned that.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Still have no idea what that is. But
I think I'll stick with the Thing at least for the next hour until another episode of Mutant League at 10.
10:30, we got VR Troopers. There's another Power Rangers knockoff that I'm actually familiar with.
I actually just rewatched that.
Would you watch it again on the Sunday before Halloween in 1994?
Around this time, there's not really much else going on, so I guess I would.
Yeah, I guess the only other thing is Rugrats, and then on TBS, Over the Top, the Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling movie.
No, I think I'm still in a good kid show kind of mood right now with what we've had going on. I'll stick with some VR Troopers.
All right, VR Troopers.
At least got some monsters in there.
I'll go with Rugrats on that one. All right, so moving on to 11 a.m. It looks like it's getting really churchy on TV, but we do have Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Star Trek IV The Voyage Home, Ren and Stimpy, Robot Wars. I don't know what movie that is. Anything catching your eye so far?
I wouldn't mind watching some Robot Wars. That's one of Full Moon's jams there.
Oh, they also have Rocco's Modern Life over on...
Oh, Rocco. Yeah, I think I'd go with Rocco. Rocco's a good show.
And Raggedy Ann and Andy in The Pumpkin Who Couldn't Smile over on the Disney Channel.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I get used to seeing that in the listings. There is a lot of reruns of that in that Halloween Grinch show.
That's the one they got in the bargain bin for TV viewing rights that year, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah, I would go with Rocco's Modern Life as well. That takes us through the morning. A couple of different movies that I might catch on throughout the afternoon, but it really doesn't get exciting to me again until, I guess at 5 o'clock when the 60s Batman is back on FX. And they also have over on Channel 20, Doug and Rugrats Halloween, where it's Halloween episodes of Nickelodeon's Doug and the Rugrats, where they sneak into a haunted house.
It's Halloween. Doug and the Rugrats are on the run. First, Doug's looking for an exit out of Bloodstone Manor.
There's no way out of this room, except...
Then, it's terror in the garage when the Rugrats take on...
A monster! And I think it's after us.
Two treats, Doug and the Rugrats in their own Halloween adventures.
Friday afternoon at 5, right here on TV 55.
Yeah, after a full day of bouncing back and forth among Daughters of Satan, Theater of Blood, I Married a Monster from Outer Space, and one of my favorites, Waxwork, I think I could take a break from all that to come and check out Doug and Rugrats Halloween. But before that, at 4:30, I've got to see The Last Halloween. Have you seen The Last Halloween?
I have not.
So The Last Halloween, if you've never heard of this, is another great little...
live action.
Kind of forgotten Halloween special that came on in 1991. So this is a rerun in 94. But so the Mars company, the Mars Candy Company, that makes your M&Ms and all the other candy bars. So they produced a Hanna-Barbera CGI animated through Industrial Light and Magic half-hour special where these CGI Martians come down from Mars and they need candy. So they go trick-or-treating. And of course, because it's Halloween, nobody knows the difference of, oh, it's CGI alien walking down the street, but nobody cares because they think it's just kids trick-or-treating because it's live action.
Right.
The whole thing's live action, but the aliens are CGI. And they end up getting into an adventure with these kids. They have to rescue them from some old lady that's trying to find like immortality through some kind of bug squeezing juice plot or something crazy like that. It's very silly. It's very kiddy, but it's a really, nostalgic, just fun little half hour special that's easy to get behind and enjoy for the Halloween, because there's, it's a Halloween atmosphere. It's got kids trick or treating. They're in costumes, Halloween atmosphere. And Richard Bowles even in it, playing the goon to the female villain.
He's got a lot of roles this Halloween.
He does. Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, and then the last Halloween.
Look out!
Can creatures and kids save Halloween from Rhea Perlman and Richard Mall? The last Halloween on a spooky Saturday.
Uh-oh. Over on TNT, Night of the Lepus, the giant rabbits starring
Bones McCoy,
DeForest Kelly. That might be what I'm watching next to get me through, I don't know, Thunder in Paradise. We mentioned that in our Hulk Hogan episode. It's on Channel 9.
No, I think I'll just stick with Night of the Lepus.
Yeah, Night of the Lepus.
Because that's all we need to get through to what is pretty much the highlight of the day. Everything else pales in comparison to the epitome of Halloween for today, and that's going to be a two-hour block of Treehouse of Horror.
The Simpsons Scare-a-thon, they called it. It was kind of the capstone of the whole Fox Halloween bash that year, because on Halloween night, they had the bumpers and the commercials, but there was nothing Halloween-y really happening. It was Melrose Place.
Oh, yeah.
And Party of Five, I think, or maybe Melrose Place and something else. But
yeah, so
it was the commercial awards.
Hosted by Kelsey Grammer.
Right, the funniest commercials of the year.
So that wasn't very exciting at all. So the Simpsons, 2 hours of Simpsons Horror was just fantastic. It was basically Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, number two, three, and this was the premiere of number five, followed by four from the year before.
Sunday, catch a two-hour spine-tingling special. With new tricks, new treats, and new tales of horror.
There's a bug that looks like Dad.
The Simpsons Scare-a-thon. Part of Fox's Halloween Bash. Sunday starting at 7, 6 Central.
Out of these...
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Four parts, two, three, four, and five. Do you have a favorite segment or a favorite episode out of those four?
I rewatched number five last night in anticipation of this. It's one of my favorites from the whole Treehouse of Horror series, with the Shining homage in the first section of it. They have the whole eating the kids in the cafeteria to wrap it up. And in every one of these, all three things, I think Homer goes back in time in the middle and keeps messing up things.
The toaster that sends them back through time.
The time-traveling toaster. And in every one of these, the recurring gag is Groundskeeper Willie gets killed by getting hit in the back with an axe. So that's a fun little thing that happens to her. I love all of these early Treehouses of Horror. It kicks off with the second one. So that's Maggie with three wishes, Bart with psychic powers, and this was my favorite one of this particular episode, where Homer donates his brain to science and Mr. Burns creates the android.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite from those?
Actually, I think you already called mine. I actually, number five out of these four, part five was my favorite as well, with the, they called it the shinning. Yep. The time traveling toaster and the teachers eating the kids. That to me was a episode where every one of the segments I enjoyed. If I just had to pick one particular segment that just really calls out to me as one that I remember fondly, it would probably have to be the gremlin on the bus from part four.
That is a fun one. At 7:30, it's the third installment, which again, one of my favorites, with the Krusty doll, the evil Krusty doll, where you just have to switch from good to evil when they call customer service.
Here's your problem right here.
Then you also got King Homer, which is Homer is King Kong. And then my favorite one of that show is the Bart
recites a spell book from the occult that book. Brings the zombies to life.
Yeah, and then Homer gets an excuse to shoot Ned Flanders as a zombie. And Bart's like, "You killed zombie Flanders." And he was like, "He's a zombie?"
Don't run away. The Simpsons Scarathon continues with a brand new episode next.
And then they wrap that up with Treehouse of Horror number four. And then you have the Devil and Daniel Webster knockoff where Homer trades his soul for a donut, which was another one that I love. You mentioned the gremlin on the school bus, and then Vampire Burns, and that was my favorite one in the series, where it's a take on Bram Stoker's Dracula that Francis Ford Coppola had just made. Yeah. So Mr. Burns looks like that, and the Simpsons get invited to the Burns Castle, and it's up to Bart and Lisa to kill the vampire. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
Now, here's something if I had heard of this, I forgot. 9 p.m. following The Simpsons, if you switch over to CBS, there's Without Warning.
Right.
Do you remember this?
I don't. I read about it when I was researching for this. Apparently, it was like a nod to the Orson Welles War of the Worlds thing, where they had real journalists talking about, you know, what could happen at the end of the world. And then I guess there was a caption scrolling across the bottom throughout the whole thing where warning people, this isn't real. This is just a simulation of what could happen.
56 years ago tonight, America was shaken to its core by War of the Worlds, Orson Welles' classic radio broadcast about an alien invasion of Earth from Mars. Many Americans believed visitors from outer space had actually landed, and there was nationwide panic. It was the most startling radio broadcast of all time. On tonight's anniversary of War of the Worlds, CBS presents another story, perhaps as disturbing and equally alarming. What you are about to see is pure fiction. It is not actually happening. But could events depicted in this special program someday take place? Judge for yourself. Without Warning.
But I believe it was about asteroids hitting the Earth?
I just pulled up the description here on page 130 of TV Guide. It's a doomsday thriller that unfolds as if it's actually happening. That's because this 1994 TV movie, shot on videotape, simulates network news coverage of a breaking story. The simultaneous crash of three massive asteroid fragments, so you were right, it happens in Wyoming, France, and China. And then subsequent reports by journalists, I have no idea who any of those are, so I'm not even going to bring them up, talk about the fates of survivors, scientific speculation, and the threat of another asteroid.
Yes, I thought this is pretty wild. So this is something worth looking into or trying to find a copy of for sure. The only other time I've heard of something like this happening was there's a movie from the 90s, I think it's called Ghost Watch. And that was something done over in Britain, I believe, where it was a simulated news broadcast that was played over the airwaves around Halloween time at some point in the 90s. And they were going into a haunted house and people were thinking that they were actually seeing or finding ghosts that were attacking the reporters in the haunted house.
Obviously, we'll stay on as long as we can. And we'll keep feeding you the signal from the Johnson Space Center as long as possible.
This is Houston. Please come in. Please
With all the missiles and all the power, I can only leave you with this thought from Shakespeare. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars. But in ourselves.
The report just came in that Edinburgh has been obliterated.
Cape Town. Washington, this is Houston, Washington. Do you read me? Washington, this is Houston Control. Please come in. Come in, Washington. This is Houston Control. Washington, come in, Washington.
Me now, having worked in TV broadcasting for years, I think Without Warning would be a lot of fun. But I think at the time in 1994, I would have picked The Addams Family over on NBC to watch at 9 p.m. and wrap up my TV watching, because I think I would have to go to bed because it'd be a school night.
Oh, no, I'd be staying up all night so I could watch Halloween 4 through 5.
No Frankenweenie on the Disney Channel?
Nah, I'll just go over to the Max and enjoy double feature of Michael Myers, because I got to prepare, as you know, because, you know, they're playing 4 and 5. Part 6 is already in theaters, and I'm ready to watch it on Halloween night the next day.
But it's not in theaters until 1995.
What? Why did you give it to me in the notes?
Yeah, that was a mistake. The movie...
Oh, Dal!
The big Halloween movie, or not really Halloween, the big horror movie in theaters at the time on that weekend was Wes Craven's A New Nightmare.
Okay, fine. We're going to go see New Nightmare Halloween night because it's out in theaters.
They told you he was dead.
And since you've been thinking of making it, has anything funny happened?
For 10 years, he's been held captive as Freddy in the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
And now he's got the last laugh.
What is he doing?
He's decided to cross over out of films into our reality.
Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Miss me?
I'm with you. This is still one of my favorites to this day. I do love Halloween 4 and 5. My exposure to those movies didn't come until I actually got cable later on and was introduced to AMC's Monster Fest or Horror Fest, whatever they called it at the time. And that was on like three times a week leading up to Halloween for like the last 2 weeks. Yeah. And I would watch those. I still think Halloween 4 captured the essence of late 80s, early 90s Halloween probably better than any of the other movies.
Well, no, you're not holding 5 is up as to be as good as 4, are you?
No, 4 is definitely the
top. Okay, one. I was about to say, you just kind of said you like them both equally, I thought, for there for a second. And I was like, let's not be that generous for part 5.
Well, what I thought I said was part 4 really hit home on the 80s and 90s. Well,
before that.
Well, yeah, those were always on AMC. But yeah, it got a little weird in part 5 and continued to get weird in part 6 with that whole Thorn trilogy.
All right, so now we are into Monday, October 31st, 1994. You wake up. You say you're going to school. I said, let's play hooky. Let's watch some more Mighty Max and Ah Real Monsters on the TV just to warm up for our day of trick-or-treating.
Okay, sure. Let's go through the list. I didn't look through any of these, so this is all new for me because I plan to be in school at this time. Yeah, 7:30 a.m., Mighty Max, I'm there with you over on Channel 9.
We got some, like I said, we got some Are You Afraid of the Dark we can watch. We got some Unsolved Mysteries. Now, here's what really bugs me, though. Halloween has to end on a bummer, but there is some salvation. And what I mean by that is there is one Halloween-themed episode that's all brand new for Halloween, and it's an episode of Dave's World.
Yes.
And I appreciate the message, but at the same time, it's like, why did he have to bring Halloween down? And what I mean by that is the episode of Dave's World is...
What if his kid got hit by a car, right?
Does he not get hit by the car? I didn't see the episode, so you're... I don't know if you did. Did you see the episode?
I didn't see the episode. I read in the previous week's TV guide, they had a listing about it. And in my, I thought it was a, what if this happened and how it would change my worldview and.
Oh, okay. Maybe impact. I think we read the same thing. We just must've interpreted different ways, but regardless they take Halloween to be a very super serious message about the safety of how to trick or treat without getting hit, which I think we already covered that with the night with Saturday night, because of Saturday night we had America's Most Wanted tell us how to trick or treat safely.
Yep.
And not be taking just anything from strangers that could have like razor blades in it or poison or whatever else can kill us, so long as our parents checked it. So I don't think we needed like more another reminder from Dave on Dave's World on the Monday night. So, but after that downer of trick or treaters being hit by cars, I say we go out, we trick or treat, get as much candy as we can, we raise a little hell, have a little fun, go to some parties, watch some scary movies, but then we just come back and watch not King Kong, not Hocus Pocus, but the one saving grace of Halloween night that I find is going to be playing tonight, and that is Dinosaur Island.
So you're not going to go with The Haunting and Burnt Offerings over on TNT?
No, I'm sticking with Dinosaur Island. If you've ever seen Dinosaur Island, you understand why I would choose that over the rest.
What time is that playing?
That is 10 p.m.
10 p.m. What channel is that on?
I think it's like one of the premiums.
Okay. Cinemax. All right, so you're tuning in to Dinosaur Island on Cinemax. I'm not familiar with Dinosaur Island at all.
Yeah, so Dinosaur Island is a very simple plot. It's basically some soldiers that end up on an island with cave babes and claymation dinosaurs.
Cave babes and claymation dinosaurs. All right, a trip to Dinosaur Island it is. Are we still up at 1 a.m. watching Unsolved Mysteries or Beavis and Butthead, or are you passed out by this point?
Probably passed out at this point, because after being awake nonstop from Monday, yeah, I think I'm finally tuckered. It's November 1st. I need to rest up and
get ready for Thanksgiving.
Ease my belly for Thanksgiving turkey. Just reflecting my happy memories of all the enjoyable entertainment I got to ingest through the TV.
There you go. Well, I think I might switch over to The Shining at some point if I'm still awake and bored by Dinosaur Island. But based on your description, I don't know how I could be. But yeah, that was fun diving back into TV guides from October 1994. What was your favorite part about Halloween programming in this era?
For me, the
fun of it was more the, like we talked about, the bumpers and the promos, and they just made a big deal of it and made you want to tune in. So you wanted to tune in to see what Elvira and George Carlin were going to be doing, even if you were let down.
Yes, that is something I absolutely enjoy that you don't see that much of nowadays with streaming services and whatnot. It is still a treat to see a network that prides itself in being its own thing and taking its talents and having them do all these different promotional pieces for their different shows and whatnot. So that is absolutely enjoyable. And it was enjoyable to see them super pump up whatever holiday was coming up, especially Halloween time, because that's when you got to see... Because remember, this is before YouTube. You couldn't just pull up videos right. of Universal Studios at any point and just be like, oh, I want to see what the Jaws ride looks like. This was like some of the only footage you ever got to see of those places was little bumpers and stuff like that with these celebrities going through the rides and the attractions.
And they packed so much into those little 15, 20 second stories that they told. They're really... make you want to go down there and experience it for yourself. So yeah, those were fun. It's definitely a lost art with the promos and the coming up and even the just while the credits are playing in the episode where it's Thursday night on Martin, there's going to be a Halloween adventure, blah, blah, blah. Be sure to tune in.
Yeah, I miss that so much. The things like that just really take me back. The sound bites, the sound effects, the just stock music they use in the background for all that.
More of the Simpsons Scarathon coming up. Join us Thursday as Martin gets a big surprise when a young boy shows up claiming to be his son.
Yeah, big surprise. The young boy is played by Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees.
No, that's
actually played by Mickey Rourke.
No, that's not it.
Mr. Rourke from Fantasy Island?
No, you'll have to tune in and see Martin followed by Living Single Thursday beginning at 8, 7 Central.
We're just getting warmed up. Fox's Halloween Bash continues with another full hour of the Simpsons Halloween episodes, followed by all new Married with Children and the George Carlin Show tonight on Fox.
Just the energy and how they would just pump you up for it. I think you just described it that way, especially when they would have like little montages talking about, like on TNT, like some of the bumpers on TNT Monster Vision, I especially love, and they would show like the chemicals going through the little
right.
chemistry sets, and they would show like all the light shows and just the announcers over those segments. I mean, just little things that they would just throw away in a heartbeat once it was over and done with, but just it was what made it so memorable and what really just triggers you into flooding your brain with all these happy memories.
Even like now researching this, going back and watching those promos and bumpers and commercial breaks that I was able to find from some of the shows and blocks we were talking about, was probably more fun than going back and actually watching the episodes of the shows would be, just to kind of recapture the energy of the moment and the storytelling that was happening in Halloween at that time.
Elvira here. Stay tuned for more of the Fox Coors Light Halloween Bash.
Well, Dan, this has been a lot of fun diving back into these old episodes of TV Guide and getting ready for spooky season. We'll have a lot more to talk about coming up soon as we head into the holidays and dive back into that old 80s and 90s nostalgia. I'm looking forward to it. Hope you are.
Oh, definitely. I can't wait.
And if you've enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, drop some comments. Hey, if there's something you'd want to watch that we didn't talk about, let us know. And get more rewinds over at therewindbutton.com. Thanks for hitting the rewind button. We'll talk again soon.
See you later.